Hallelujah. Welcome everyone and everywhere, everyone connected from all around the world. I'm sure that the media, you will make them see themselves very well. And we also see them so we can know that we're all together. Praise the Lord. This evening, there has been such a very, very heavy download of word since the conference started. Tonight we are going to take a step further. And this is titled, Taking Charge of Destiny. Altering the Natural Order. Altering the Natural Order. That's right. Jeremiah 22:29, he said, Oh, earth, hear the word of the Lord. Our objective tonight is to understand what it takes to alter or interrupt natural orders. To alter, to interrupt. And there are three things I'll say by way of introduction. First, there are times when the natural course of things or the natural order of things can prevent the fulfillment of a person's destiny. Again, there are times when where the natural course of things or the natural order of things can prevent the fulfillment of a person's destiny. This is what it means. That is, if things are allowed to follow the natural order, to proceed according to the natural sequence of things, if things are allowed to proceed according to the normal schedule, destiny couldn't have been fulfilled. That takes us to point number two, that natural order occasionally will need to be interrupted, will need to be interfered with if destiny must be fulfilled. The natural order will occasionally need to be interrupted, need to be interfered with if destiny must be fulfilled. That is, when the natural order or the natural course of things stands in the way, right? In the way, they can be interfered with. Tonight, there shall be such an interference in Jesus' name. Let me summarize it in the point number three, which sums everything together. When the natural order stands in the way of man's vision or God's purpose, there is license for interruption. When the natural order, the natural sequence, the natural schedule stands in the way of a man's vision, God-given vision, or stands in the way of God's purpose, there is license for interruption. We'll talk about that when we see what Joshua did in the valley of Ajalon. Let's look at examples in scripture. Number one, Jacob. Jacob was the example of a man that interrupted the natural order. Naturally, Jacob was the second born of Isaac. Naturally, Jacob was not meant to be the recipient of the Abrahamic greatness. If Jacob sat down and allowed things to follow the normal schedule. If Jacob just watched things flow according to how they were, maybe he would have been talking of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Maybe. That is, Jacob was watching and he looked at the scenario of things and realized, look, if I am to watch things to flow normally, I am the second born. If I should allow this second born position to remain, I am out of the equation. I will be forgotten in this lineage forever. So he moved. He moved. And the fact that his move was correct was that God stamped it. God stamped the move. If the move was wrong, the stamping of it would have been affected. But God stamped the move. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is a follow-up on righteous rebellion of last night. Don't watch things flow because that is how it is according to the natural order. Don't watch things flow because that is how it is according to the natural sequence. Don't watch things flow because that is how it happened for other people. You have the license to interrupt. You have the license to interfere with any flow that is not in the favor of your destiny. I'm not going to talk too much tonight, but let's look at what Jacob did. And then we'll look at the outcome of Jacob. These we'll see in Genesis chapter 25, verse 29, all the way to verse 34. Genesis 25. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. That same red pottage. For I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Red. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This was a terrestrial transaction with celestial recognition. It was an earthly transaction with heavenly recognition. And I'm going to talk about that later. Jacob was after the birthright. Now, after this transaction, many, many things happen. Many of us, we have always said that Jacob was trying to steal Esau's blessing when it was time for somebody, for the firstborn to be blessed. And Isaac called Esau his firstborn so he can bless the firstborn. But it appeared to me like their mother was privy to the transaction. And the mother said, no, your father is about to bless Esau. And Esau is no longer the firstborn. You are the firstborn. You transacted. And I know you are the firstborn. And so I want you to rush very, very quickly and go and bring the pottage. And when he brought that pottage, when he brought the venison, Genesis 25, start from verse 1. 27, start from verse 1. When he brought the venison, I like us to look at it. And he came to point out. Now, move forward. He said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went out to the field to hunt for the venison. We will not have time to go into this now. And Rebekah said, spake unto her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now therefore to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Alright, let's jump, because there is a lot of details. Can you jump to about verse 20 thereabout? And Isaac said, that was when Jacob came, how is it that thou hast find it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. I didn't go out to hunt like Esau. I prepared the meat that is in your house for you. We'll leave that for another time. And Isaac said unto his son, Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may fill thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brethren Esau's as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Is he lying? We'll talk about that later. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may be blessed. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father said, Isaac said unto him, come near my son and kiss me, my son. And he came near and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, that includes Esau. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Curse be everyone that curse thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was just cast gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau, which is a lie. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? I have eaten of it of all before thou camest. I have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. I have dropped a blessing on him that can't be reversed. What I dropped on him is irreversible. When a true father blesses you from the heart, it is irreversible. This is my question. If this man lied, if he lied to his father, why should the righteous God allow a lie to stand? That is not in the nature of Jehovah to bless a lie. The Bible says God will not do unrighteousness. I believe that there are many things involved here. Number one, I believe that God witnessed the transaction. He saw when Esau and Jacob transacted. And Esau is saying, and Jacob is saying, today can we agree that I am the firstborn and now you are the secondborn? He said, I agree. Are you sure? I am sure that as I give you this food from today, I am the firstborn and now you are the secondborn. Correct. He said, correct. He
if it, he said they swore an oath, they signed as it were if it was today, and it was sealed, and it ended. And the Bible said he ate the food and despised his birthright, which means that from that day forward, the birthright meant nothing to him. He had given up the birthright. So when the father said, come, let me bless you, Esau, my firstborn, he should have told his father, I am no longer the firstborn. I have sold my birthright a long time ago. The firstborn currently is Jacob, based on transaction. If you want to bless me, bless me. But if it is the firstborn's blessing, please, I refer you to Jacob. It was Esau that was actually trying to steal Jacob's blessing. Not Jacob trying to steal. That was why when the father said, are you Esau, my firstborn? The answer is true and no. His name is not Esau. But are you the firstborn? Yes. My name is not Esau, but everything Esau carries that he has by firstborn right, it is mine now. God sealed the deal because there was a transaction. And to me, another reason why God sealed the deal was because he saw the profanity of Esau. He saw a man who can sell a heritage. He saw a man who can transact away a generation. He saw a man who can transact away a lineage. He saw a man you can bribe and bribe him out of his destiny. And he said, the destiny of this family is not safe in the hands of this man. Let me give it to Jacob. There are Jacobs here. The natural order did not favor you. You are not born as a firstborn. You are not even born as a secondborn. The way things were structured doesn't favor you. In the city where you are, in the nation where you are, in the community where you are, the natural order, schedule of things, how they allocate things, does not favor you. But I am anointed to announce that God is about to alter by his mercies in your favor. There is about to be an alteration of the natural order in the favor of his purpose for your life. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, if the order does not favor your destiny, feel free to alter it. Let me tell three people, if the natural order does not favor your destiny, feel free to alter it. Feel free. Feel free. Feel free. Feel free. Feel free. Give the Lord a shout of praise. If somebody can be firstborn by birth and become firstborn by transaction, firstborn by decision, and firstborn by transaction, by a spiritual transaction, then anything is possible. Anything is changeable. The position of your birth cannot be against you. When you started the ministry, cannot be against you. When you arrived in town, cannot be against you. Hey! There are things I'm going to say this evening that will blow your head, that will make you not to give up on any loss. Not to give up on any loss. Not to give up on any disadvantaged position. Not to give up on any schedule that is unfavorable. Woo! Take your seat. Let me tell you what happened to Jacob after this transaction. How Jacob altered the order. What happened to Jacob? What became number one? Jacob legally became the firstborn of Isaac, legally, by virtue of transaction. by virtue of his decision to alter the natural order, Jacob legally became the firstborn of Isaac. Number two, Jacob legally became, I am using the word legally deliberately, legally became the inheritor of the firstborn blessing. Legally. Legally became the firstborn of Isaac. Legally became the inheritor of the firstborn blessing. Thirdly, Jacob legally became the continuity of the genealogy of the family of Abraham. He became, that is, if you are saying Abraham, Isaac, it goes straight to Jacob. He legally became the continuity of the generation of the family of Abraham. Fourth, Jacob first legally became the firstborn of Isaac. Second, Jacob legally became the inheritor of the firstborn blessing. Third, Jacob legally became the continuity of the genealogy of the family of Abraham. Fourth, very important, Jacob became the covenant partner of God after the order of his fathers. The covenant partner of God after the order of his fathers. That is, the way Abraham raised altars, Isaac raised altars, and related with God, Jacob raised altars. I'd like you to ransack the scripture, and please let me find out one place where Esau raised an altar. I'm not sure that I saw one. There may be. Hello? Heavens were open. Angels ascending and descending. Show me one place where Esau experienced that. And Jacob moved, and the host of God came to him. Genesis chapter 32 from verse 1. And Genesis 35. And the host of God met him. And Jacob wrestled with the man. And Jacob saw an angel's vision. And Jacob and the Lord appeared to Laban in the night on the account of Jacob. Show me one place where that happened with Esau. Not one. Because as far as the transaction was concerned, this is the covenant partner of God. Esau is out of the equation forever. Legally. Something is about to be altered. I say something is about to be altered. If it is for you, it is about to be altered. Say loud, amen. If it is about to be altered for you, say louder, amen. If it is about to be altered for you, shout the loud most, amen. And finally, Jacob legally became the oracle of God after the order of his father. He became a mouthpiece. Jacob had the audacity to lay hands on Pharaoh. He blessed Pharaoh. That is, the man came, the man carried such a weight of mantle. He was too conscious that the Abrahamic grace and the Isaac grace was upon him. When he went to Egypt, Isaac took Pharaoh. Or rather, Joseph brought Pharaoh, Jacob, to meet Pharaoh. And the Bible says he blessed Pharaoh. He was aware that he was heavier than Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. He blessed Pharaoh. I am just picturing Joseph. That is like the Donald Trump of his generation. The Cyrus of his generation, the most powerful king of the whole world. He came before him and said, kneel down. The God of my father, the God of Isaac, bless you. And I bless you. You will do well, you hear? Bye. That was a man that was meant to disappear out of history. If the natural order of things followed, He was meant to disappear out of history. Nobody was meant to hear him before, beyond when he was born as a twin with Esau. But he altered the order. Altered the order. Altered the order. Is there somebody who is about to alter something here? Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Lift up your right and say, in the name of Jesus, I am about to alter certain order. I'm about to alter certain orders. I'm about to alter certain orders.
From where we come from, this kind of thing is impossible. Eh? This is impossible, Mike. It's impossible. This kind of thing. Either you are caught in your prime, you are going and then you are off, or you are alive but rendered useless and irrelevant, wrecked. You may still be alive, but voiceless. Yes. I met a man who in the late 80s and early 90s, he was there in the 70s. When we fasted in the 1979, he was there. Yes. And then this guy was casting out devils with his name. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? He said, if Paul, if the devil knew Paul, they should know him. I was talking with him one day. Under 1 minute, his eyes became red. He charged like a lion. Oh, I saw that. Oh, he's gone. But it was not the devil. Took him out of circulation while he was still alive. It's not it is an order. Order that got altered. For us to sit here, you are talking about 30 something countries. And you are talking about people connected from all over the world, including England. It is not something that the devils are familiar with. It's something that took devils by surprise. Are you following what I'm saying here today? It's the same thing if you go to the places like Akwa Ibom area. You won't see an indigenous of the land that amounted to anything. For years, nothing. Nothing. Until pattern broke. Huh? The order got altered. I announce to somebody here today, every natural order that is not in your favor shall be altered today. It shall be altered today. It shall be altered today. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, say amen. It shall be altered today. It shall be altered today. It shall be altered today. Shout the loudest, amen. Let's quickly go as I round off on this, and then I'll say one thing about Joshua and the son. How do you alter the orders? What do you do? What do you do if there is a natural order? Number one, recognize the disadvantaged position of your life. In case there seems to be a disadvantaged position you find yourself, don't play the ostrich game. Recognize it. Recognize the disadvantaged position of your life or destiny. That was what Jacob recognized. He recognized that, look, I am number two child here. And if I don't do anything, nobody will hear of me forever. Recognize the disadvantaged position of your life and destiny. Number two, identify the future or destiny you desire. Identify it. What you don't see coming never comes.
Nobody arrives anywhere by chance. Identify the life you would rather live. Identify the life you would rather live. Identify the life. We went for a crusade one time. All we able to was came with us, right? Was it one of the countries we went? By the time we landed at Abuja Airport, he said, "If this is how to suffer for the Lord, I want to continue suffering." I waste my life again and again. You say, if this is how to waste your life for God, I like to waste my life again. Only him knew what he saw and felt. Yes, we did Ethiopia and Kenya together. He said he felt the same way when we traveled for the crusades in Togo. And do you understand what I'm talking about? If you don't know what you want, you have no right to find it. You have no right to find it. If you don't know exactly what you want, you don't know exactly what you want. You don't know exactly what you want. You have no right to find it. Because what cannot be defined cannot be discovered. What cannot be defined cannot be discovered. If you don't know what you are looking for, how will you recognize it when you find it? Very, very important. It is important to know, okay, this is the disadvantaged position of my life. And then, this is what I am trusting God for. This is the future, the ministerial future, the ministerial destiny, the business future, the business destiny that I'm looking for. I knew what I wanted out of marriage before I got married, before I even started thinking of who to marry. I knew what I wanted out of marriage. And by God's grace, I saw it, I recognized it. Number three, react against every disadvantaged position of your life and destiny. React against it. Reject it. Jacob reacted. I don't believe that I was born by the great man Isaac to just wind away on the earth. I don't believe my father can be Isaac and then the big blessing of this lineage, I don't have it. React against every disadvantaged position of your life and your destiny. Reject it. Don't ever accept current positions as future destinations if they are not in line with what you desire. React. Reject it. I reacted against many things. I rejected many things. Rejected many things. From my bloodline, I rejected many things. I reacted against many things. From my territory, I rejected many things. Reacted against many things. Hallelujah. Even from our nation and the way things are, I reacted and rejected many, many things. Our major concern is for the people of this land, not for ourselves. By God's mercy and under His grace, we have never felt it a slight thing of anything that goes wrong or otherwise. Not once. Not today, not yesterday, not since. We have never seen, not forever. When we cry for the land, when we speak for the land, it's for the generality of the people. Jesus Christ said to the women, "Weep for yourself, not for me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I am too aware of the economy of the kingdom I am connected to. Too aware of it. Somebody say amen. You traveled to Togo. One aircraft carried instrumentalists, carried singers, and carried other people. Another one carried pastors and ministers. Flew, landed. From Togo to Ghana, they landed together. And you didn't take a dime of offering at the crusade. And nobody is under pressure on the crusade. And nobody is under pressure at home. Nobody is thinking of paying off bills. That is instrumental. It's coming out of another technical people, media people, ICT, and all of that. Some of them is their first time. Plus prayer band. Plus do you understand what I'm talking about? He was with us. Is it 30? How many people were in that hotel in Ghana? Is it Moving Peak? 28 or 38 rooms? In the 5-star hotel, all 7-star hotel, number one, all paid for. Nobody struggled for what to pay.
So I was watching the egg. I was there at the tarmac.
He was there at the tarmac festival.
Yes, when the planes were landing, the first one landed, and the second one landed like a convoy was, like, you know how people drive and arrive. So the instrumentalist plane arrived, then yours arrived, like the same time. So I was wondering, what happened?
No, they flew together. But the main point is, when men say they are cast down, if you should be under pressure and be asking people for money everywhere. Everywhere you come, you should put people under. You should drain the land before you leave. You should dry up the Ghana, dry up the Togo, and dry up everywhere before you go. Not, and you didn't mention one naira. That devil is a bastard liar. I was just talking and the people are just reacting. I'm sorry, I didn't come here to... Do you understand what I'm talking about? No show, no ostentation, no pride, nothing. Just in the assignment of the master, and the master is taking care of his assignment with nobody under any trace of any pressure, under the climate that we are in. I announce today, in the name that is above every name, everything that is not in the interest of your life and your destiny, every order that is fighting God's purpose for your life, I declare the arrest of the order right now. You are saying amen. Shout the loudest amen. You are saying amen. Shout the loudest amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. React against every disadvantage. Number four, deliberately choose the destiny or the future you desire. Make the choice for it. I may not be there yet, but this is what I want. This is the kind of life I want. This is the kind of what I want to experience in God. This is the kind of marriage I want. This is the kind of Christian business life I want. This is the kind of ministry I trust God for. I'm not a struggler. Deliberately choose the destiny or the future you desire. Number five, identify your strengths and potentials and maximally deploy them. Whatever graces you carry, whatever potentials you have, don't keep them. Deploy. Deploy. Even though it appeared mundane, but Jacob was such a cook that he could sort pottage. The fact that Esau said that same pottage means that he had a track record. He said, I am not talking about the pottage that another person cooked. That's your pottage. That's your pottage that you anoint with a lot of palm oil. Red, very, very red. That's your pottage. That's your pottage that has the palm oil by the side. That's your pottage. It's not another one. It's not the one wisdom cooked. It's not that one. Not that one that Allah cooked. It's not that one. It is the one Jacob cooked. The one Jacob cooked. The one Jacob. That same red pottage. That's your own. Your brand of pottage.
The brand of pottage.
That same one. Don't deceive me by giving me another. If you give me another, I will identify it. What are you known for? What do you know how to do? It is key for altering your life's the order that is not in your favor. What do you know? What can you do? What are you known for? What do you know how to do? What are you at an expert with? An expert at? At least under heaven, let there be something you can do. Deploy it. That was the same way Joseph deployed his capacity for dreaming and interpretation of dreams. That was what he did. And by that dreaming and interpretation of dreams, he changed his tenure in the prison. Tenure in the prison. He changed his tenure in the prison. Changed it. And got to where he needed to go. Identify your strength and potentials, and maximally deploy them. Number six, continually strategize on how to get at the destiny you desire. Continually, continuously strategize on how to get at the destiny in God that you desire, the future you desire. Continually strategize. Because I don't believe that Jacob just woke up one morning and then Esau came and he said, give me food. He said, okay, give me your birthright. It doesn't happen that way. The Bible said Esau was a hunter. Jacob was a plain man that dwelt in tents. What was he doing inside the tent? Strategy. How do I become? The boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a playman dwelling inside tents. How do I become the firstborn? And that is telling us something. Esau had energy. Jacob had strategy. And strategy is superior to energy any day. It's good to be energetic. But it's more important to be strategic. So he sat down in thought. What can I do to become firstborn? Already birth position is against me. Biology is against me. History is against me. Geography is against me. What do I do? But strategy is not against me. All right. I just saw something. Esau likes food. All right. Esau likes food. I know what to do. I will make food ready all the time. Not just when. I will just make sure food is available every time Esau is around. And I will make the aroma so aromatizing that it's irresistible. So he made the food. Every time food is ready, food is ready, food is ready. And then suddenly, food was ready at the same time that Esau was terribly hungry. And that was the seal. The deal was sealed. I need the food. Oh no, getting the food is easy. I need your birthright. Oh yeah, really? What is birthright to a dying man? Have the birthright, have the food. Will you sign it? Can we swear? Can we, yeah? He liked the food. Can we sign an agreement? Signed. Sealed. Concluded. 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 Somebody say amen. 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 Somebody shout the loudest, say amen.
Look at your neighbor, say nothing can be dynamic until someone is strategic. If your destiny must move, your mind must walk. Somebody say amen.
I prophesy tonight, everyone seated here today, the grace for a functional working mind is released now. Receive now. Receive now.
Let's round off quickly. Finally, number 8 for today. All right, not 8 yet. Live ready. 7. Live ready. 4. Opportunities for a change of order. Live ready. Don't get ready. Live ready. For any opportunity that may present itself for your life to change, just live ready. Smith Jesus will say, don't get ready. Live ready. Live on the edge. Be proactive, never reactive. When the disciples said, Master, why couldn't we cast this devil out? And Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He was not telling them that every time you see a devil, go and pray and fast before you come. No. The fasting that will deal with that devil, you fasted it before that devil arrived. The prayer that will handle the emergency, you prayed it before the emergency arrived. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Jacob lived ready. When they said Pharaoh was looking for him, Genesis chapter 41, verse 14, he changed his raiment. Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came to Pharaoh. He knew there was a palace clock, and he knew the day will come when the door of the prison will open and he will be in the palace. So he kept that clock for that day. Many of us are looking for cloth when Pharaoh is calling us. And the Pharaoh said, I don't have the time to wait for you. You are not serious with your life. Let me go and sew a new cloth. My wife knows that for me, if I have a new cloth today, I wear it today. New shoe today. What I'm saying is practical. Every day. I tell her, I don't know, I may meet the president. I may meet anybody. And I am okay to meet them. I won't regret that. I wish I dressed better. Life is practical, not mystical. Mysticism will never help anybody. A witch is after me. Somebody is the reason why. No. He was ready to meet Pharaoh. And by the time he has met Pharaoh, he didn't want to leave Pharaoh. He gave him the interpretation of the dream and gave him the solution to the interpretation. He described himself to Pharaoh. Look for a wise man. A cunning man who is discreet, who will coordinate the gathering of the food in the 7 years against the years of famine. Don't look for a careless person. Choose somebody that can think, that can reason. Strategic man who have insight, who is disciplined. Pharaoh is looking. Why are you giving me? Who am I to look for? You are the one I'm looking for. You describe yourself until they have no choice than to look for you. That was what happened when I was a medical student fellowship president.
Nigerian Conference of Christian Medical and Dental Students, my school. And we went for a national conference in the Lagos University Hospital. And they're about to do election. You know, they're about to choose the next president. I was my university's president. They're about to choose the national president. And they gave everybody assignment. You read announcement. You do this. And they gave me 5 minutes of prayer to lead. That 5 minutes bomb dropped. Every second was a bomb for 5 minutes. So, by the time they said it was time for election, who is the president? All of them pointed in one direction. See him. The bomb is the president, the bomb. The fire is burning till tomorrow. They have surgeons everywhere, neurosurgeons, plastic surgeons, everywhere. The fire. The other day they called me the Christian Medical and Dental Association, the doctors, and they say the fire that was kindled in those days, can you help it? Come and kindle it among doctors today. I preached to them at the National Hospital at their national conference. They came there about 2 years ago. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Ensure that you don't get ready, you live ready. Live ready. Be prepared for every urgency. Be equal to every emergency. Be prepared, be equal to every call of duty. He asks you to deliver, over-deliver within the time. They gave you 20 minutes to talk. Talk for 18 minutes. Talk for 19 minutes. And let the 19 minutes be equal to almost 3 hours in terms of droppage. Are you following what I'm saying here today? And finally, if you want to alter the course of events in your life, maintain the covenant walk with God. Amen. That was Jacob. A consistent covenant walk. A consistent walk of covenant. Esau never thought, we're talking about Esau raising offering, raising an altar. Talking about, when was the last time you heard about Esau talk about the tent? When Jacob was living at Bethel, he told God, he said, as I am going, if you will help me, the tent of everything you give me, I'll return back to you. He had a walk of covenant from the start. And he maintained the covenant walk of his fathers. He maintained it. He maintained the covenant walk of his fathers. Whatever you do, if you don't want the pattern of your father's house to follow you, or if you want to alter things differently, maintain that covenant walk, and it is well with you in Jesus' name. Let me round up within the next 10 minutes using the situation where Joshua altered the course of nature. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. I'll round off with the scripture. Joshua was in battle, and he has not finished the battle. He hasn't finished with his enemies. Victory was not totally confirmed. He had not seen the kind of results he was seeing. And the sun was in a hurry to set. And the moon was in a hurry to appear. Not that they became hurried suddenly, but it was still the normal course of the day. It was normal course of the day. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, stand still in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about the whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Sun stood still. The moon stood. That is the practicality of the natural order. Sun is rotating in his orbit. A man's word blocks his movement. Stop moving. So, it is 7:48 of Wednesday. Or let's say it was 12 noon of Wednesday. It remained 12 noon till the next day. The sun started moving again. After one full day, the whole earth stood still for 24 hours. Because a man, a general, was in battle. The sun shall stand still. The time shall stand still for you. Now, let me say a few things and then we close. From the life of Joshua, what we saw, number one, nothing is allowed to stand in the way of your purpose and assignment in God. Nothing. Whether it's a natural order, nothing is allowed to stand in the way of your assignment or your purpose in God. Nothing. This was an assignment that Joshua had. This was a purpose that must be fulfilled. And this was standing in front. Nothing. Secondly, nothing is permitted to facilitate your defeat or failure in life. Nothing. Nothing is permitted. Nothing must be allowed. If it became night, the battle wouldn't go the way it was. They wanted daylight so that he can fight to his satisfaction. Nothing is permitted to facilitate your failure. Don't allow it. Nothing is permitted to assist your defeat. Don't allow it. Nothing is permitted to facilitate your failure or defeat in life. No natural cause, no natural order is permitted. Number three, never remain indifferent or silent when your assignment is under attack. Don't remain indifferent. Don't remain silent when your assignment is under attack. Don't. Joshua had to speak. I am on assignment here. And son, you must favor me. Number four, all of nature and creation have ear for God and his people. Nature and creation has ear. All of nature, all of creation have ears to hear God and his people. Jeremiah 22:29 says, O earth, hear the word of the Lord. Everything has ear to hear God. Somebody say amen. And number five, time must not be allowed to work against you. Time must not be allowed to work against you, your life, and your assignment. Time must be made to work in your favor. Say made. That was what Joshua did. He made time to walk in his favor. And I'm here with a prophetic mantle to say to somebody, if the time is against you, today I decree hell from above. Time must not be allowed. In studying the Bible, I realized that time was made to do two things in Scripture that were abnormal. Number one, time. God can make time to stand still. Stand still. That was what he did for Joshua. What does it mean for time to stand still? I told you, if it was 12 noon of Wednesday today, the sun remained until 12 noon tomorrow. The day remained, night couldn't come. If God makes time to stand still for you, you are able to achieve today what you are meant to achieve tomorrow. Speed. you are able to achieve in today what was meant to be left for tomorrow. You are able to achieve at age 40 what you could have normally achieved at age 50. You are able to achieve at age 50 what many couldn't do at age 80. Time stood still. Beloved, there are people here today. If this is the only reason why you came here, if Joshua caused the time to stand still, I prophesy to you today, time shall stand still for you. Can you say a louder amen? Can you say a louder amen? Can you say a louder amen? Can you say the loudest amen? Lift your voice and say, in the name of Jesus, I have so much work to do, and time cannot be so much in a hurry. I must do tomorrow's work today by the help and mercy of God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Take your seat. And finally, time can be made to reverse. Time can be made to go back. That was what happened in the healing of Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 9 to verse 11. 2 Kings. And Isaiah said, all right, go back to verse 6. Hezekiah was sick unto death, and he cried unto God that the dead cannot praise God. And God said, go and tell Hezekiah, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shall have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Do you want me to move because the shadow is caused by the sun? Do you want the sun to shift by 10 degrees, to move faster by 10 degrees, or to go back? And Hezekiah answered, it is a small thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. It's normal for sun to go forward. If it reverses, that is the abnormal. So let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Hey! 10 degrees. Movement of the shadow is 10 over 360. That's about 0.66666. Multiplied by 24 hours. The sun moved back by 40 minutes. 40 minutes was subtracted from time. Do you know the meaning of if God should make your time to go back, he will assist you to achieve today what you couldn't do yesterday. He reverses time for you. He reverses time for you. That is where some people are today. Because there are so many people feel full of regrets. My time has gone so much. There are many things I could have done that I couldn't do with my life. And before I knew it, time went. I am announcing to you today, my God and your God will cause you to see results today. Stand up on your feet, people. Let me give you a practical example. Young lady is getting married for the first time at the age of 50. She's already menopausal. No menstrual cycle anymore. and no hope of childbirth. Then God decided to make time go back. So you say, you know what? You are 50 years of age, but your ovaries now return back to age 25. That happened for Sarah, right? That happened for Hannah, right? Your ovaries return back to age 25. Your fallopian tubes, your hormonal spectrum returns back to that of a young woman about to get married, or even to that of a teenager. She carries the age of 80, of 50, but the physiology of 25. That was practical reversal of time. And I am not just talking, it will happen to you. Barren for 9 years. The man gave birth to the first set, triplets. Next year, triplets. Third year, triplets. 9 children within 12 years. If somebody has 9 children in 12 years, is that a delay? That is too much speed. Enough pressure. Until he began to beg God. Well, sorry, sir, please, it's okay. For many reasons, stress reasons, physiological reasons, including economic reasons.
School fees at all.
Hallelujah. God is going to reverse your time. And the good thing is that when you begin to alter the natural order of things, it doesn't just affect you as a person. If the sun stops in Abuja for 24 hours, don't you think it affects the whole world? Because there is only one sun in the whole world. That is God causing something to happen to you that impacts your generation, your whole generation. I want you to pray. Is there any hope? Is there anybody? That is, I am not moving too fast. There is hope for you. I've missed some time in the time past. There is still hope for you. Bishop Fele was with us when we went to Botswana Crusade. The first thing that they told us in Botswana, the mayor of Habaroni, which is the capital city, he said to us, there is no rain. Botswana is in Kalahari Desert. No rain. Their crop, everything is dead. Pray for us for there to be rain. That was a natural order that was to be interfered with. And I said to them, the rain shaft, there will be a rain of revival and there will be a physical rain. But after we have left. After we have left. Because I didn't want it to rain. It happened to us in Bauchi. Pastor Majebo, you remember? As soon as we landed Bauchi Airport, they said they haven't had rain for a while. That we should pray for the rain to fall. We say, Lord, let the rain fall. The rain fell before we reached the airport. Before we reached the hotel. Before we reached the town. And disrupted the crusade the first night. What kind of answer prayer is that? That became a challenge. So, I learned that from Bauchi and Azim in Botswana. Rain will fall. But after the crusade. We left on Saturday. Rain fell on Monday. But rain did not only fall. It became a flood that made international news. Flood was carrying cars and carrying people. In Kalahari Desert. That was rain, Botswana. See motors inside water. Motors. They even show a picture of somebody that rain carried, flood carried. People ran to harvest him. So, that was a truck inside the rain. So, I said, why? So, they called to us back that rain is falling. And now it has become too much. So we decided to look at the prophetic word. Look at that. That was the man that was just harvested. Rain, just rush. So, show us a clip where the rain was declared. And I realized that we overprayed for the rain. We overprayed.
All that the mayor desired volume for Botswana, especially the rain. The land shall be nourished. The mighty will come and keep the land shall be nourished. The mighty will come and keep it. To confirm that Jehovah visited this land. If you can even be open your days, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ.
A good word. That is the mayor's
crusade. And thank you for rain upon rain upon rain.
That is like the commandment of
the land as the product of this crusade. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name.
It's okay. You cannot get this out. I said, Father, we ask for rain upon rain upon rain. That was what we said. We were so zealous for the rain to fall. So we say rain upon rain upon rain. When it now became a flood and they called us, we were in New York crusade. And then we prayed from the place there and we said, okay, now let it be rain. Only. Not upon rain. And upon rain. Let rain fall at normal schedule. And then it normalized. Right? Normal. Normal rain now. This Bishop Philip from Botswana. I tell myself, I say, there are miracles and testimonies I wish happens every day. But I trust God we are about to step into that season where this will not be a solitary and isolated evidence, but it will be a frequent, normal occurrence, not just from one place, but everywhere, like an epidemic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not just a solitary event, but an epidemic of occurrence. Lift up your hands where you are right now. When you get the utterance, you can play it. I like us to pray. Pray. We're going to pray in the spirit for just about 5 minutes because of the time we're taking tonight. And if you feel moved, we can take it for 2 more minutes. We have communion tonight, and we trust God to be done in a short time. But first of all, how many of you think there are some natural things that need to be altered around you? Natural order of things. Certain ways, certain things are moving that need to be altered. All right, lift up your hands. First thing to do is to open your mouth and thank the Lord for his word to you. Lift your voice and say, Father, thank you for your word to me tonight. I receive your word and I thank you for its impact on my life. In the name of Jesus, go ahead, open your mouth, speak to God. Lift your two hands now and say after me and say, Father, I ask that you will alter in my life today by your power every natural order that is contrary to your purpose for my life. Every natural order that is contrary to your purpose for my life. Every order that is geared towards defeat or failure in my life, I ask that it be altered pray. Let us take a second. Pray, pray, pray. Yes, Master. Last Saturday. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and I see the mantle of Joshua coming upon somebody. Lift that hands high up now. You are here tonight. You have not surrendered your life to Jesus. You know you need Jesus in your life. You want your sins forgiven. You want today to mark a new day in your life. Pray this prayer after me where you are and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer and you meant it. Would you carry your Bibles and your bags and quickly come to the front here and let us receive you. Carry your Bibles and your bags, give them a song. And I'll give you the count of seven. Give you the count of seven. Quickly come forward. One.
Then I live for you alone.
I live for you alone.
Every
moment I'm away. Every moment I'm away.
Lord, have your way.
Everybody see. Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you
my soul. Quickly come forward and give yourself to Jesus. You are bound by an addiction. You are bound by smoking, drinking, masturbation, womanizing, prostitution. You are bound by one lifestyle or the other you are not happy with.
quickly rush to the front also and let's receive you. Or you want to rededicate yourself to Jesus, come forward again. Take it up and let's receive
you. My mind.
One, two, three,
because,
four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. Goodbye. I have made up my mind. The rest of my life, I have made up my mind to go God's way. Place your hand on your chest, pray after me, and say, Jesus, I come to you to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I ask that the hold of the enemy be broken off your life. Grace to live for God be released on you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.